how do you know what level of leader you really are? How do you know if you're a good leader, a great leader, a mediocre leader, a terrible leader? What a leader's job is to maximize resources in any context. And the way that you do that is to grow other leaders. Now, when we talk about leadership, though, sometimes people's review of that or thought process about that is they think of it only in terms of business. But, you know, as I said, a parent's a leader, a friend's a leader, hopefully. Anytime you're in a position where you're here to try to influence someone for a greater good, you're doing it. But I would ask myself the question saying, okay, it's great to see that other people are leaders, but that's a pretty broad answer, and it's a good answer. But I'd love to have you get really precise in your leadership skill. Because, you know, sometimes you develop great leaders around you because they're already great leaders. Sometimes great leaders are found. They're not made. It really has nothing to do with you, and we take credit for it. So, you know, sometimes as people start flying, well, they were ready to fly. You just happen to bump into them. So if you and I are going to maximize our capacity to contribute in meaningful ways, let's look at two questions around leadership, and that is let's look at the depth of your leadership, and let's create a scale for this, and then let's look at the breadth of your leadership or the scale in which it reaches. Leadership mastery can be defined in two ways, both by the depth of your mastery and by the breadth, which we also call the scale of leadership. And let's look at what I mean by the depth of leadership. What is the depth of your leadership? And here's how I'd like you to consider evaluating it. At a level one of depth, you have the ability to change any person in a moment from an undesired state to a desired state. Think about that. They're depressed, they're frustrated, they're overwhelmed, and you know you can step in right now and you can move them completely out of that state into a state where they're resourceful, where they've got a compelling future, where they're able to move forward, where they'll break through that fear, that problem, that limitation. And my guess is the majority of you knew it before you met me, and maybe you refined your ability to do this by understanding, for example, just the whole concept of state, understanding the ability to change somebody's physiology, change their focus, change the question they're asking, the language they're using, change the meaning, and you know in a moment you can shift it. And the question is, you know, can you shift yourself, or can you shift yourself and another person or groups of people? But when it comes to depth, the only thing we're measuring is, are you able to make the shift at level one, which means in the moment, change now, absolutely consistently? And you've got to ask yourself, have I achieved that yet? Do I know in my soul that whatever's happening, and the people I lead, no matter what the limitation or challenge is, I can move them immediately, not after 5 hours, right now, from the limitation, the undesired place to the desired place, from the inability to take action to taking action. Level two of depth is where you don't just create a change from that undesired state to the desired state in the moment, but you transfer that into a context through time. And what does that mean? Well, let's take an example of working with your son or daughter, and let's say they have an enormous amount of fear in dealing with a bully at school. You could help them get over the feeling in the moment, but a week from now, they bump back into that kid again, and they're totally unresourceful. They're back in that undesired state. Or you could find the resources in them through the seven master steps, and you could find a confidence that they had in one area of their life where they have total certainty. I'll give you an example. My son Josh, when he was 5 years old, was in this experience, I was sharing this with some friends recently, where he came to live with me, became my boy, I adopted him in my life, and at 5 years old, he couldn't walk down the driveway to get to the bus stop because he was too fearful. And, you know, I was like 23, 24 years old at the time, and, you know, Mr. Storm Through Fire, and it's like, here's all you got to do, and boom, I change him, and I get him to go down there and do it. But guess what? If I wasn't there the next morning, he wasn't walking down there without somebody walking him down the driveway and putting him on the bus. So I found out, okay, he's got some fears around doing it, and I transferred it to the context. I anchored him, in essence, in our shorthand language, where another area of his life he had confidence, and I'd walk down and go there. Now, the next level of problem shows up as soon as you help somebody with something. Next level of problem shows up because you haven't gone deep enough. And the real reason he wasn't walking down there, I got him where he could walk down the driveway whether I was there or not. It wasn't just in the moment I was there. He had changed it to a context, and he could always walk down the driveway and go to the bus on his own. Not a big deal, not a giant accomplishment, but it felt like it to him at the time. And it certainly was for our family. Because otherwise, you know, if somebody had to constantly walk him down there. at 5 years old. So the third component, though, was when he got on the bus, there was a bully there. And the bully would push Josh around and make fun of Josh. So the real reason Ross didn't even want to walk down the driveway was just a symptom of trying to avoid an environment where he felt uncertain, insignificant, right, humiliated, to be a better word for it, by this kid in school. So there was tremendous pain associated to him. So he told his mom that this bully was beating up on him, and she said to him, look, you know, you should just go to the principal, go to the teachers. And she's trying to make a change at the level of the environment, right, the context. If you guys are following me, think about that box that has your model of the world, the target, the map, and the fuel of choice, the commanding emotions of your life. Think about the moment where you're affecting the triad, and then think about the sphere. She was going straight to the spheres. And I said to her, I said, listen, if you do that, these kids, when they get harassed like that, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. He'll just find Josh somewhere else, or he'll threaten Josh or do something. Plus, this doesn't transform Josh in his own leadership of himself. I said, we got to go to a deeper level. We got to make a shift in his whole life, his whole perspective, not just this context. We can teach him how to deal with the bully, or we can get Josh to develop a different way of looking at himself and at life and how to deal with conflict that will transcend not just this bully or anything else. So what I did with Josh is I was studying for my black belt at the time, and I had this great master named Grandmaster June Reed, who was the gentleman who trained Bruce Lee. And so I obviously was learning quite a bit. So I said, I'm going to teach you one thing. And so I took Josh's physiology as the leverage for changing his model of the world. So if you can picture this in your mind, think of he has a certain set of beliefs. He wanted love and connection and to feel significant like everybody. He had a certain set of beliefs about his ability, his identity, his ability to deal with conflict. And he had a certain set of emotions that were habitual, like feeling scared and overwhelmed. So I found the tipping point in his physiology. And I went for a level three level of influence. How do I influence his whole model of the world? So I did it first by changing his physiology. And I said, I'm going to teach you one single move that will give you more power than someone 10 times your size. And I basically showed him how to break wood. That was the first time that I ever did that with anybody. It was even before I did it with other people. So I got him to do this experience. And then I had him taking phone books and exploding through them. But I had him do this one move in a split second. And I had him do it so many times that his focus became, I can rip through anything. And as he experienced that, it began to shift his beliefs about someone's ability to beat up on him, threaten him, etc. And then I set up an experience for him, and I said, now here's what you're going to do. I said, your mother's going to say, I'm insane to do this, but when you go on that bus, the minute that kid comes up to you and just begins what he says and he threatens him, say, I don't want to hurt you, but if you don't stop, I'm going to put you down. And I said, he will immediately intensify, and without any hesitancy, I want you to take this right straight into his gut. Now, some of you who are very peace-oriented models of the world are probably horrified by this story right now, but the outcome of it was he dropped this kid, who was about twice his size and a total bully. Everybody laughed. The kid couldn't believe it. The kid went to the teacher to complain that Josh hurt him half his size, and the teacher, of course, laughed looking at Josh. And Josh's life was changed forever. He didn't have to ever punch anybody again because Josh made a shift in his model of the world about who he was as his identity, shifts in his rules of what he had to accept or not accept. He had modified his rules not to say violence was the answer. It's the last answer, but sometimes you have to set a standard that creates an identity so people treat you differently. The point is, I didn't just change it in the context. That was a level three change. It shifted his whole life by shifting not only felt in a context, but in multiple contexts across time. It shifted not just how he dealt with his bully, but the way he dealt with challenges in his life. He became someone who would attack the challenge rather than living as a victim. And that's a completely different model of the world, and it changes a perspective of a person's life. And the way we anchor that kind of experience very often, that kind of learning, is with a life experience. So it's real for us. A level four level of depth of leadership is when you can influence someone so much where you shift their model of the world where they do it for someone else. Where Josh takes one of his friends, for example, it was another guy that used to get picked on because, you know, he was a little guy. They were buddies. They were victims together. And he didn't just say, I'm big man on campus. I'm a leader now. He taught his friend the same exact model of the world, the same thing. It says, we're not going to put up with this. You know, you and I, we don't need to live in fear. And so Josh transferred this experience to him so that the two of them now developed a brand new identity for themselves and a brand new identity within the community. Somebody who does this at the highest level is a Jesus, a Gandhi, a Muhammad, a Mandela. Somebody who influences not just people for the moment, not just in a context, but influences their entire philosophy of life, the way they interact, that their change is so profound in themselves that it affects others as well. So the first question is, how deep can you dive when you're leading someone? You know, some managers come in and the job's not getting done, and they come in and say, come on, John, you can do this, and they either encourage them, incentivize them, produce fear in them, and get them to change. They change their focus. They change the meaning in the moment by inspiring them or threatening them or encouraging them or doing it for them or demonstrating or training, and it works for the moment. Some parents, you know, you got your kid at the table and you're trying to teach them how to lead a different life, and some parents, you know, are trying to teach them, let's say, fundamental basic things about manners at the table. And so you say, take your, you know, arms off that table. Well, you know, it works for the moment. That's, you know, leadership in the moment. I call that management. It works. But if you're not there and it pops up a second later, then obviously it's only leadership in the moment. By the way, leadership in the moment, I don't want to denigrate. Most people don't even have this ability. Most people are followers. Most people go wherever they're most directed. Like Josh, they move away from pain at that stage of his life rather than transcending it. The challenge happens and they're controlled by the environment. They don't create a vision larger than the moment. They don't figure a way to influence the environment. The environment influences them. So the ability to change in a moment, even yourself, is a critical skill in life that most people don't have. So it's not something to be embarrassed about if you've got this, but you can probably tell by my tone that's not where I want you to stop. The second level of depth is where you really are changing with the context, which means anytime that child now is in an environment where they're around others and they're eating, they produce this quality of result, whether you're there or not, right? You change their context. Changing their level of life is that they show a different level of respect for all people, not just at the dinner table. When they're at level 4 of depth, you've influenced them to the point where they, without your coaching, have such impact that they shift other people's level of respect for other human beings. So hopefully this metaphor gives you an idea. So the question is, what level of depth do you currently dive to when you're leading people? Do you just make the shift in the moment? And that works, because some of you, for example, in your definition, you said, well, people tell me the way I know I'm a great leader is I get the results. Well, no, that probably means you're a great manager. If you're able to get the result without being there, it's a different level. If you're able to have people get the results in not only this situation, but other areas of the business, of the family, of the community, of their life, now, and they're able to do it consistently, that's great. If a person, for example, is about to give a speech and they're panicked, it's at the company, they've got to get up in front of their peers and they've got to give a report, and you can see they're panicked and you're a good leader and you care, you might come up in that moment and crack a joke and break their pattern or encourage them, say, you can do this, and then they get the job done. And you say, look, I was a great leader because I got them to go from an undesired state to a desired state. I'm a great leader because they got the result. And you'd be right. You're a good leader. But I would say you might want to set your sights deeper. You might take that person, let's say, for example, if you're going to go to level 2 of leadership, you'd say, I don't want to just help them make this speech better. In the same time I'm interacting with this person, I want to make it so that anytime they have to communicate in front of other authority figures or peers, they're going to do better. So you might, for example, take that person and say, listen, I've dealt with guys like this, for example, who, you know, a guy that was a tremendous athlete, but he had to get up and he couldn't move up in the company because the job required as a manager, as a leader, to get up and to communicate, and he'd go into a stark panic. This guy, 250 pounds, 6'2", just muscle-bound guy, scared like a little girl to get up in front of the room. So could I get him up there just by changing his triad? Yes. But when you go to level 2, you're basically anchoring a new triad in the context. So all I did was I said, listen, I want you to imagine you're on the football field. And I don't remember what position he played. Let's say he was a linebacker. And that person's coming at you full force. How certain are you? How confident are you can take him down? And as you might guess, as he focused on that, as he changed his focus, it changed his physiology, every ounce of his body got totally solid in his center, right? And he started using different language. He said, I know. I just know he's going down. I said, great. Now I want you to imagine this audience, and I want you to know that they're going down, meaning you're going to bring to them a level of impact like you would on the football field, because what you're sharing is that important. And then I didn't just anchor it to this one time he was speaking, but any time he was communicating. And obviously, he not only did well in his speech, but it transformed his career. Why did it transform his career? Because he actually looked forward to stepping up and communicating with authority, with passion, and with deep feeling what he knew to be important or true. And so now he had the capacity to expand the scale of his reach, the number of people, and move up within the organization. So that would be a level two. Level three would be if I were to find where else in his life is he feeling fearful or playing small, where we could develop the same pattern where he would tackle any situation, because then it would change his whole life, not just business, not just the context of communicating in front of peers, but life. Level four is if I got him now to help other people do the same. So I've beat this up several times because I think the depth is so important, and oftentimes we lie to ourselves about the depth. We say, oh yeah, no, I've helped them change their whole life. No, you just changed them for the moment. And you can't tell that just by results. You got to tell that by the way in which someone lives their life. And the goal of this session is to show you ways that you can go to level three and four in depth, because that's where leadership capacity has its most impact. Now, the depth of your influence, I think, is the mark of a great leader. Personally, that's how I monitor it. So whether, you're a parent, a friend, a mentor, a lover, your depth is everything. I don't care if you manage 10 million people or one. The most important thing is how deeply can you influence that person. That's the leader's job. Influence their thoughts, feelings, emotions, and actions, either in the moment, in a context through time, their whole life, or where they affect the whole lives of other people as well.